grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. John, the 14th chapter, the 25th and the 26th verses, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." This great day of Pentecost is, together with Christmas and Easter, one of the three great feasts of the Christian year. And the hymn that was sung by the cantors before the reading of the Holy Gospel has from ancient times been sung on this festival day. And it happens to be the only hymn that is quoted in the Augsburg Confession, which is the principal confession of the faith of the Lutheran Church. The words quoted in the Augsburg Confession are these: "Praying to the Holy Spirit, the Church sings, where thou art not, man hath naught, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill." Well, you might say that these words express a rather grim view of the human condition, a rather grim view of the world. Where thou art not, man hath naught, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint or ill. Changing poetry into prose, the hymn is saying this, that apart from the presence and work of the Holy Spirit, we have nothing good in us, nothing that is not weakened and damaged by original sin. Original sin not only in the sense that original sin has its origin in the sin of Adam, but original also in the sense that it is the origin, the source, the ever-flowing fountain of all the sins by which we damage ourselves and by which we are damaged. The sin which has made of the whole world a place of conflict and suffering and death. Apart from the Holy Spirit, that is the human condition. A thoroughly unholy condition. That is our natural state, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit who makes us unholy sinners holy. Although all three persons of the Holy Trinity share in the work of creation and redemption and sanctification, all three persons are involved in all three works. We speak of God the Father's work as being especially the work of creation. We speak of God the Son's work as being especially the work of redemption. And we speak of God the Holy Spirit's work as being especially the work of sanctification. And what is sanctification? The word sanctification comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy. So the work of sanctification is the work of making us unholy sinners holy. And how does the Holy Spirit do that? He does that by showing Jesus to us. As we say in Dr. Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just as the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers, and will at the last day raise up me and all the dead, and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. The Holy Spirit makes us holy by bringing us to Jesus, our Savior. And Jesus, our Savior, is present in the preaching of the gospel and in the administration of the holy sacraments in Christ's holy church. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So how does the Holy Spirit make us unholy sinners holy? He makes us holy by placing us through holy baptism into the holy church, which is the communion of saints. He makes us holy through the forgiveness of our sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. All the damage done in Adam, all the damage in which we sinners share and add to, all that damage is undone as the Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus, who fully atoned for our sins and through whom we are freely and completely, fully pardoned. The Holy Spirit doesn't point to himself. He points to Jesus. And that's why the Holy Spirit has sometimes been called the shy person of the Holy Trinity, the shy person of the Holy Trinity. And why it's been said not irreverently, but is making the point in a memorable way. Poor Holy Spirit, all he can talk about is Jesus. Poor Holy Spirit, all he can talk about is Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus himself says about the Holy Spirit. In the gospel read on this day of Pentecost, Jesus says, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. All that I have said to you. And this wonderful promise of Jesus began to be fulfilled when on this day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had come down on the disciples with a sound like that of a rushing mighty wind and with tongues like fire, St. Peter stood up and addressed the astonished crowd by pointing to Jesus, to Jesus' death, to Jesus' resurrection, and then called the crowd to repent of their sins and be baptized in order to receive the pardon of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, clothing us in the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, and creating in our hearts the desire for holiness and giving us power to walk in obedience to the Savior who so loved us, answering love with love, however imperfectly, until that day when in the new heavens and the new earth we shall live in that perfect love and peace and joy that are the Holy Spirit's gifts to all the redeemed of the Lord. On that first day of Pentecost, there were present people from many of the nations of the known world of that day, a world that, like ours, was in so many places bitterly divided in so many appalling ways. Of course, the cause of all these bitter divisions is human sin. The sin which wants to be its own God, its own judge of good and evil, its own judge of right and wrong, and together with all that, a deep self-centeredness. All of this is the cause of division, with all its bitterness, with all its exhaustion, with all its misuse of God gifts, and all too often with violence. But that crowd from many nations under heaven, divided and wounded by sin, that crowd was brought together in unity as it heard and responded to God's call through St. Peter to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of all those sins of division. As then, so now, the way to unity and peace is the way of repentance and trust in Jesus, who, as St. Paul writes, is our peace. Jesus is our peace. And finally, let us remember that the Holy Spirit is not only the sanctifying Spirit, the Holy Spirit is also the Creator Spirit, the giver of life, as we say every Sunday in the Nicene Creed. Because He is the Creator Spirit, the Church has for more than 1,000 years sung, "Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed." Because the Holy Spirit was present at the creation, hovering like a dove over the primeval chaos, bringing order to creation. And when the new creation was begun, the Holy Spirit again hovered. This time, He hovered over Blessed Mary, causing her to conceive within her the Prince and Author of life. And as the psalmist sings, the Holy Spirit continues every day to be the Creator Spirit. The psalmist sings, "You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth," constantly giving new life to all creation, giving eternal life to all who take refuge in Jesus, comforting all troubled and despairing hearts with the warmth of the Savior's life-giving love. I began this sermon with some words of the ancient Pentecost hymn, "Come Thou Holy Spirit, Come." I now want to conclude this sermon with some words of Gerard Manley Hopkins's wonderful poem called "God's Grandeur, God's Grandeur." In his poem, Hopkins speaks of the fallen, dying world, as he says. "Generations have trod the world, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. But then he goes on joyfully saying, and for all that, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last light off the black west went, morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with awe bright wings. The Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with awe bright wings. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.